Richard. Welcome to Global Conversations and belated happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
So how are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I have no complaints. I feel good. I have coffee with me, so I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. All right. And I would like to congratulate you as well. Your show is like entering into 5 years in August. Like I read about it.
Yes.
So yes. What any special celebrations?
The celebration is that we're moving into a new studio. So it's a brand new studio. We're going to start doing in-person interviews and performances and games, and we'll have audience members. So that's the celebration, is that we're going to try to sneak out of the virtual world and actually sit next to someone, which I'm excited about.
Have a tete-a-tete, kind of.
Yes. It's very exciting.
So what is the story behind your show, the Richard Wilbur Show? Like, you always wanted to be a show host. Yeah,
I did. I wanted to, like every 10-year-old boy, I wanted to be a talk show host.
Why a talk show host? Like, you know, 10-year-olds will be normally like doctor, engineer, scientist.
Nothing. I wanted to be a teacher up until I was like 10 or 12. And then I wanted to be a talk show host. And I would play talk show in my bedroom, and I would have the biggest celebrities in the world in my bedroom, and I would shut the door and put a do not, like an on-air sign on my bedroom door. And that's what I did every day. And I did it like, and I timed it like a show. I would do an hour show. I would take commercial breaks. I did the whole thing. So, I don't know. I fell in love with, the Rosie O'Donnell Show, which is, I don't know if you know what that is. Do you know who that is?
No.
She's an American comedian and had a very successful talk show in the 90s. And that's, I came across one of her reruns of her show one summer on summer vacation from school. And her show was very upbeat and bright and fun. And they were just having so much fun, and she was giving stuff away and making people feel good. And I thought, I want to do that for people. Like, I want to make people feel the way she makes me feel. So that's what happened. And I did it in my bedroom for a long time all by myself. And then in 2016, I actually built a set in my house, I started filming.
So what are the particular roadblocks that you faced, or, you know, while hosting the show, like any anecdotes, any stories?
I've been very lucky that most people I ask say yes. I've only had a couple people not have time or not want to do it. The biggest roadblocks have really been getting the courage to get out there. Like, I did the show, I never thought, like, oh, you have to promote yourself. Like, I was working so hard. It's one of those things where, like, you're in it so deep and you're working so hard that you assume everybody else knows you're doing it too. And then you start and no one's watching, and you're like, how come? I've been working so hard on this. But then you realize, oh, I have to be the one to promote myself. So that was a big learning curve, and that took a really long time to get the confidence to do that. I kind of hide behind, the show isn't about me, it's about the guests that I bring on. So it doesn't, nobody cares about me. Mm-hmm. But I've come to realize I watched the Rosie O'Donnell Show not because of her guests, but because of her. So I have to get out there and talk about myself, which is not always fun.
So who is Richard then?
Who is he? Oh gosh. He is now 37, someone who's just starting to be comfortable being in his own skin. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a little town in Wisconsin, and we had a lot of medical issues in my family, and we didn't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of my story for a long time, is the poor kid with the sick dad. And I started to realize that that doesn't have to be my story for the rest of my life. And that was pretty life altering when I realized I could have a different story. Like, that was my story, but it doesn't have to be the way the story ends. So I don't know. He's he's a guy who likes to go out and have fun and be around people and laugh. And then he needs to go home and have some tea and have quiet time. I'm one of those people who I love being out with people and having fun and, you know, hosting a show in front of hundreds of people. But then I also love laying on my couch watching a documentary.
Right. So just like me, like an ambivert, you are out there and then you come back and you want to have your own zone as well.
Yeah, well, I need that. I need to like normal. Refill, you know?
Yeah, that is normal. That is okay. I heard you had a truck fashion business.
I did. Before I started my show, I owned a fashion truck, which is sort of like a food truck.
Yeah.
But it had clothes in it. So you'd walk in the truck, there were racks of clothes, and there was a dressing room, and you could buy clothes from me. It was a fun couple year adventure. And then I was living in a different state than I am now. And so when I moved, I sold the truck because it was too much work to bring it to the state I was in.
But you still do have a store, like where you can buy your merchandise.
I don't have that store. No, I didn't. I haven't had that since 2017.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can't buy any clothes from me. But they were cute and they were all, I made them affordable. Like I wanted to sell clothes that I would, that I would buy, that I wouldn't mind spending the money on.
That is nice.
Yeah, everything was under $40. That was my threshold.
Wow, that is nice.
Yeah.
So tell me a little more about your show, like about the guests who come on the show. You interview like celebrities only or everyone, like anyone and everyone who's talented?
I do any creative person. So I started my show in a basement in my house when I lived in Maryland. So I call them basement artists. People, you know, Tom Cruise can do a movie and go on any show he wants, but there are people doing amazing things out there that are hosting great podcasts, that are writing amazing books, that are really funny comedians, that are making movies and great musicians, and they have nowhere to go and promote themselves. And they're out there doing gigs and they're out there trying to sell books, but they can't go on Oprah, you know? So I created the show as a way for those people to come and be able to talk about what they're doing, because I love talented people. That's my favorite thing, is to be around talented people.
Any favorite story, any favorite guest you would like to share?
I had on a circus performer, like the person who like puts the balloon in his eye and it comes out like his mouth. That was pretty gross to watch, but it was really fun. I've also had magicians on the show. Those are always fun. Just to see that audience interaction, he'll get, you know, they'll take someone from the audience and do magic with them. I love that kind of stuff.
Coming back to your social work, you are associated with Hearts to Art, the organization.
Yeah, Hearts Need Art, creative need support art, for patients and caregivers. Yeah, so everybody nobody says it right.
Yeah.
It's one of those, tongue twisters.
Tongue twisters, yeah, right. Yes. I've been practicing it, but I still didn't get it right.
There are people who work for us that don't even say it correctly, so you're good.
Okay, so how did that come about?
I was going through a divorce in 2018, and I moved out of the house and I was in this little apartment, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to take myself on a date to a theater show. And so I went and saw a musical at a local theater here in San Antonio. And I know the people who work at the theater, and someone had said to me, I want you to meet this person. She has a booth here. She's really nice. And I think you'd like her. And so I met the founder of Hearts Need Art. And she had this little table with this little crappy cardboard sign that she made promoting it. And she was so sweet. And I was hosting my show at the time. And so we exchanged information and I went and saw the show and I had her on my show. And we had a great time and we did some art and we talked about Hearts Need Art. And the show was over and I went home and I was sitting in my apartment feeling sorry for myself that I was going through all this. And I thought, you know what? I'm healthy, my bills are paid, like all is well. I need to reach out to them. And my dad got sick with cancer in 1992 when I was in second grade. And I thought to myself then, I'm going to become famous and I want to start a cancer charity. Like, that's what I thought as a second grader. And now there, I found this woman who is running this organization to help people. And so I emailed her and I started volunteering. And that sort of snowballed because I saw how much work was needed and how much help was needed. And that snowballed into me being their first full-time employee.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like a random meeting that probably wasn't so random. I feel like it was just like one of the lowest times of my life that I met her. And I feel like it legitimately saved my life, this job.
So now it has grown into a bigger organization. How do y'all work? Like, I saw on the website, we can volunteer, like any musicians can volunteer and, you know, they can do artwork. Like, I have a friend in UK, she runs the Creative Mental Health organization and she's into similar work. So I work with her as well. So maybe I could connect both of you.
Yes.
It could be a nice collab that you can have with her.
Yeah, I started a podcast for Hearts Need Art called Arts for the Health of It. And we talk to people all over the world about arts and health. So I would love that connection from you and have her on the show.
Yeah. So how can people volunteer? Could you just tell us a little more about the organization? What all
sure.
do they do?
Sure. So we're based in San Antonio, Texas. So our in-person stuff is in hospitals here. Before the pandemic started, we were in one hospital and we worked very hard throughout the pandemic. And as we're slowly going back into in-person things, we're actually in 4 hospitals now. So we added 3 hospitals during the pandemic, which is pretty amazing. The sad part is what we do is we go into hospitals and we work with adult patients, their family members, and the medical staff to be able to let them express themselves and create and distract them from what's happening. And during the pandemic, of course, we weren't allowed in hospitals. And it was very frustrating and very hard to not be in a hospital. And that's the exact time we needed to be in a hospital, when no one had access to anybody. And there are hospital patients who are bed bound for months at a time with no visitors and nothing to do. And the only person they see is a doctor who walks in. And so it was really frustrating. So we started a virtual program. We put all of our programs virtually. So anybody can go on our website, heartsneedart.org. And we hire professional musicians, artists, and writers to do the work. And so you can make appointments with them that are free to help you write a song or learn the guitar or just listen to music. Hannah, one of our artists, has weekly meetings with someone that she's been doing art with her for almost a year, and they just keep creating more and more. And Judy has helped people write entire books during her office hours. So it's anything you want to be able to express yourself and to be creative. We're there for you to support you in that way.
Right.
So if you're in the San Antonio area, we are looking for artists and musicians and writers to join our team. Virtually, we have a program called Gratitude Grams that we send out to medical staff every week. They get an email from us and it's a short little video from someone on our creative team, just to give you a moment during your lunch break or before you go into work, a song for you to listen to, or a quick, like, easy art project. And those are ways that people outside of San Antonio can help us by signing up to make those videos to send out to people.
Yeah, that is a great initiative. So any positive stories coming out of it? Anything you would like to share?
We get letters all the time from nurses that thank us for those, and they cry through them. And then they also will take and like sign up one of their friends for it, which is always fun when you love it so much that you get to give it to someone else. But we just met the like director of a COVID unit. We met virtually through emails to sign some of her staff up for the gratitude grams. And Stanzi, our founder, was in the hospital the other day. and was talking to her and realized that they knew each other through email because they had never seen each other before. And it was her, and she was so thankful for the program and took us around and introduced us to some of the nurses that we were sending emails to. So that was pretty special.
That is nice. So before we wrap up, what is the message you would like to give to the audience, to our listeners? Anything positive?
I go by, well, I have a tattoo. Is this filmed or is this just recorded?
Recorded.
Okay. Well, I have a tattoo that says, never forget how to dream. And I feel like that is my kind of motto. I have been doing my show for a long time, wondering why, you know, I wasn't the next big TV talk show host, but I'm now realizing that there are steps to it and it doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, I started my show in a basement and I was putting my show on YouTube and starting in the fifth season, which starts in a couple weeks. It's now on Apple TV, it's on Roku, it's on Amazon Fire. So, you know, it takes some time, but it's been worth it.
So thank you, Richard, for being on my show today, and have a wonderful day, I would say, not evening. Enjoy your documentary, if you're okay.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And keep in touch.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.